Well, good morning again, church. Pastor, our worship director, Mike, he led worship all week at a summer camp, Bible camp. So he's resting right now, all right? So we're going to sing some extra songs this morning. This morning we're going to talk about worship. Worship is something that's been passionately a part, like, it's been a part of my life for so long because I spent so much of my time in ministry leading worship. And I recognize that all of us at some point in our lives, there's always a first time for most of us, and maybe we don't remember that first time, but maybe some of you are in the midst of that first time. At some point, whether you're young children or whether you're grown people, you've been in a space like this. And you step in and you're like, what do I do with this? So no matter when that moment was for you, at some point you're trying to figure out, what do I make of this worshiping space? Like, we're singing songs, it's like karaoke, there's stuff going on the screen. Maybe that was not your situation at a church that you grew up in or a church that you first stepped into. That happens to be our context and our situation now. Some people are raising their hands, and I don't know what that's about. Some people seem super into it. Some people look, maybe they're uncomfortable, and maybe that's you. But what is it? What is it that we're engaging in? What is this thing that we do called worship? Is it just singing songs, or is it more than that? That was me like 30 years ago, trying to figure out what was going on in church every Sunday. And to be frank, what it felt like to me, this is kind of like me with my jaded perspective of the world when I was a teenager, right? We all had that at some point in our lives. Maybe some of us still have that. It felt like to me, like people were just kind of going through the motions. Here's the part where we sing the song that we like. Next, here's the part where we pray that prayer. Next, here's the part where we sing the song that nobody likes, right? Now, to be fair, as stiff and robotic as some of it felt to me, it was also clear to me as a young teenager that some people were deeply invested in what was happening during the time of worship. Well, maybe others were not, and I admit, like, sometimes it's kind of hard to tell, all right? Now, I may have just been trying to make sense of it all at that time, but if somebody was like, if somebody was checking their watch during worship, we didn't have phones back then to, like, I know some of you, like, during the sermon, you're, like, on your phone playing whatever the next game is right now. Like, I'm just glad you're here. That's great. Yeah, I'm glad you're here. But, like, when, as a young person, we didn't have phones in the service. If I see somebody, like, checking their watch, like, constantly, or they're looking around impatiently, they've got their hands in their pockets, and they're disengaged, like, in their countenance and their whole being, they may not have been as engaged in worship as someone who maybe was more earnestly engaged in the moment. You get that, right? We can kind of see that with our eyes. They may not have been, like, completely into it, but others were. So I was curious about these things. I wanted to know how to worship. I wanted to know, like, is there a right way to do this? Is there a wrong way to do this? What am I supposed to do or say? Am I supposed to look a certain way? How am I supposed to sing? Should I be doing, like, this thing with my hand and, like, my eyes closed and, like, head down? Or should, like, is there, like, the double thing should be going on? Like, should my fists be closed? Or is it, like, the open palm thing? I don't know. Like, there wasn't a class for this, all right? Do I need to sing loudly, or do I need to pensively close my eyes and just, like, or like, stare off, you know, someplace, right? What is it? What is this whole thing called worship? How do I figure it out? I wanted to know. And over time, it became clear to me that worship was indeed an action. Worship is a verb. It's something that we do. It's not just something we show up to. All right? It's not just something we passively sit through or go through the motions. Worship actually requires something of us. And certainly a lot more could be said of that. But if worship is an action, what kind of action is it? Where does it come from? So I want to help you understand this a little bit, like the kind of action that worship is, with an illustration. On my honeymoon 19 years ago, Kathleen and I were sitting on this beautiful beach where there was a 40-foot cliff, and that's the actual cliff, that people were just leaping off of, just like that, okay? And now, this cliff was of particular interest because it was the same cliff that Harrison Ford, jumped off of alongside of Anne Hetch in the very forgettable 1998 film, 6 Days and Seven Nights, all right? So several people were making their way up to the cliff to jump off, myself included, and that's neither here nor there for this particular illustration. Now, but I'm curious, has anybody, like, jumped off a cliff before? Anybody? Yeah, okay, we got a few cliff jumpers in here, so we know who the crazies are, all right? And that's me right there. I'll just conclude myself in the crazy. Now, maybe you haven't jumped off a cliff before, but you've watched other people do this. Do we more hands? Like, no, interesting. There's only adding a few more to that. So, okay, let me explain it to you then. Cliff jumping or cliff diving or jumping off of high places oftentimes draws a crowd, all right? And the people who are jumping off the precipice oftentimes like that, and they're just going for it. Now, usually the crowd of people is waiting for something to go wrong, okay? And that's the thing about jumping off a cliff into water or any high dive or platform, springboard. It really doesn't matter. Eventually, when enough people take the plunge, the law of averages kind of starts to catch up with people who are just hurling their bodies into the water. Finally, it kind of goes sideways, right? We know that. And like that flip that doesn't quite make it around, or maybe makes it around too many times, that slight slip at the top of, you know, of the cliff, and like that jumping body is just helplessly flailing, and then what, right? Smack, right into the water. But here's what interests me about the smack, okay? It's not the pain, or all that, and there is pain for sure. What interests me is the human response that we all have to these unfortunate, though often, most oftentimes, harmless moments, okay? Maybe you can't even right now think of what that response is, because it sounds like not too many of you have actually gone and watched people do this crazy stuff, all right? And now, it's not a planned response, okay? It's not even a learned response. It's instinctive. It's a gut response that happens when a body goes smack into the water, and that response goes something like this. You ready? It's, oh! Just like that. Sometimes there's the body motion along with it. Oh! That's the common response. It's remarkably unified as a human response. Now, I wasted a little too much time last night going through YouTube. You don't get stuck in like a black hole on YouTube and you just keep going. I just kept watching like dive fails last night, or cliff jump belly flops or whatever. And I just kept going. I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And I noticed something like that, just this commonly recurring refrain of, oh, right? And I want you to see it now. I put together a short compilation video of several of these that I saw last night. Now, some of you may find this amusing. Some of you may want to look away, okay? I kept out all the ones where people got injured, okay? So you're not going to see any injuries, okay? Now, consider this your public service announcement, all right? If you're not into seeing bodies go slap against water, look away if you can. All right? Here's the thing, though. You actually don't even have to watch to get what I'm wanting you to get out of this, okay? Because it's not about you seeing the splat. What I want is you to hear the response of what they saw, okay? Listen to the collective response from one person after another, sometimes entire crowds of people with the same response. Are we ready? Kids, don't try this at home. Okay? All right, roll it.
Oh! Oh!
Now, isn't that fascinating? All right? I know people are dumb. You know, most of the times when it does go sideways like that, it's not because they were jumping off a cliff. It's because they were doing something else that was dumb. But is it not fascinating, one video after another, the same response? Oh! They did not rehearse that, okay? There was no director waiting to like cue the gallery of people. Like, okay, here they come, and 3, 2, 1, and oh, that's not happening here. Okay, they didn't learn that this is what they're supposed to say. And the response was spontaneous. Moreover, it was true. By the way, several of those videos were collected from around the world: Africa, Philippines, Caribbean. This is not like a monocultural response, it's a human response. And can we agree it's an appropriate response, right? It's an appropriate, true response to what they saw with their eyes. Now, that word right there is incredibly important, the word saw, see, seen. When we watch those videos, we're listening for a common response, but the common response that was generated by people who saw something with their eyes. Now, stay with me. The same thing that was true for those people responding to what they saw in the water is true for us right now. Worship is a response to what we see. Author Louis Giglio says it this way: unless we see God, we cannot worship him. Worship is what flows out of us when we come face to face with God. Worship is the natural response to all who he is, our uncalculated response to all he has done. Have you ever thought of worship like that? Worship is a response. If worship is a verb, if worship is an action, the action is our response. And for these past several weeks, we've been sharing each week a different passage that moved us or shaped us in some way. And I remember how, as a young man, this passage from Isaiah that Pastor Cindy read for us shifted my thinking about what worship was. It was in this passage that I could see more clearly what worship was all about. That worship is more than just words we say or motions that we go through. Worship is a response to what we see. Sometimes what we see with our eyes, probably more often what we see with the eyes of our hearts, with the way that God has revealed himself to us in our lives, in this world, and through Scripture. Worship is a response. And it all comes back to this simple idea of seeing. Look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 6. These verses, by the way, are when the prophet Isaiah, he's recalling the moment when God called him, his commissioning. And look at what it says. It says, in the year King Uzziah died, so this is a historic moment. He's remembering this is when it happened. Why does the Bible have all these weird dates and things like that and seemingly superfluous details? Well, maybe it's because that's when it happened, all right? So, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now, don't miss that, okay? What did Isaiah say? He said, he saw the Lord. Now, this is a pretty remarkable thing to happen, particularly since God has explicitly said to other Old Testament heavyweights that to see the Lord would mean certain death, okay? So this is kind of a special moment here, and Isaiah doesn't just die right after this. But that doesn't stop, you know, this idea that we might die if we see God, it doesn't stop the psalmists from earnestly writing poetry and singing songs about how they desperately long to see God and seek his face. And now here is Isaiah doing just that. He's actually seeing the Lord. And somehow, miraculously, he is surviving. Maybe he's vividly seeing the Lord here with the eyes of his heart, which is how Paul describes and hopes for the church in Ephesus to see. Like, Paul desperately wanted the church in Ephesus, these Ephesians, to see the Lord. But here's Isaiah, 600 years prior to Paul, saying, I saw the Lord. Wow. Now, as it turns out, in this passage, Isaiah isn't the only one who's seeing the Lord. There are other characters here in the mix, right? Seraphim were there. These high-ranking guardian angels were there. Yeah, and they too, these seraphim, see the Lord. In fact, they're always seeing the Lord because they're constantly in his presence. Now, as we saw earlier with the diving fails, seeing is step one. But seeing elicits a response. And the response to a body going splat on the water is typically, oh! Sometimes, though, the response to a body going splat on the water is like a boisterous, like, guffaw laugh, like, ah! And there were some of those as I was watching last night. Other times, the appropriate response to a body going in the water is, call 911 now, okay? Now, in these verses, we see Isaiah see the Lord, and we see the angels see the Lord. And what I want us to pay attention to is the response, because the response that we see, whatever it is worship, is worship. And in these eight verses that Pastor Cindy read for us, there are three very distinct responses that we see. And the first one comes not from Isaiah, but from the seraphim, from the angels. Isaiah said he saw them surrounding the throne, and they were shouting back and forth to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Over and over and over again. They keep saying this over and over and over again. The Apostle John, by the way, had a similar vision in the book of Revelation. In chapter 4 of that book, he describes something very similar. In fact, he uses the exact same line, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So, 600 plus years later, they're all still singing the same song that they've been singing all this time. And some of you come to church and you're like, oh, this song again? Right? Hey. Do we really need to sing the chorus like four times? Right. I mean, really? John says they never stop saying it. They can't stop because they see the Lord. And the Lord is holy, 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 holy. That is their response. That is their praise, their worship. They see and they respond. Holy, holy, holy. Now, you'll note, as we keep reading, that Isaiah shows us a different but equally important response. Isaiah looked up, he saw the Lord, and what does he do? He weeps. He falls apart. He's wrecked. Woe to me, it says. I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King. Like, he knows, like, this shouldn't be. Like, I am not worthy to be seeing what I'm seeing. Now I'm seeing it, and I realize how unworthy I am. My eyes have seen, it says. Again, this is a response to what Isaiah saw. And here we see this response is, I'm ruined, I'm broken, I'm sinful, I'm impure, I'm a man of unclean lips. My mouth has been soiled by sin that has poured out of me for a lifetime. Now, these are two very different responses, but each one is completely appropriate, completely true, right? And each response is worship. One response from the angels is praise and adoration. That's an appropriate response to what we see when we see our God. Isaiah's first response is very different. It's repentance. It's humility. That is an appropriate worshipful response as well. But what holds these two worshipful responses together? They are both responses to what was seen. Okay. There's so much happening in this passage, but we're going to skip ahead to the final response, all right? Remember, this passage recounts the call of Isaiah. And look at the last response to what Isaiah sees, and specifically in this verse, what he hears. It says, "Then I heard a voice from the Lord." So he's seeing now and hearing. And the Lord says, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am. Send me." So here we go. A third response. There are certainly several more. We've seen praise. We've seen repentance. And now, just as different from the previous two responses, we see Isaiah responding to God with his worship. And his worship is, yes. Yes. Here's my life. Here's my obedience. I will go where you lead, as our kids learned at Summer Blast. So, what's the takeaway? What's the takeaway? And what can we do as a worshiping people, or a people who hope to be a worshiping people? If worship is a response to what we see, then we need to make every effort to look for God. I talk often about how I long for our community to be a community of truth-seeking people. That means some of you, at some point on your journey, you're like, I've met this God, and I believe his name is Jesus. Others of you are like, I don't know what's true, but I want to know what's true. All right? What does it mean for us to earnestly seek the face of God and to look for what's true? That's why it's so appropriate for the psalmist to write things like, "My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." Okay, well Pastor, maybe you've had visions like Isaiah, but I've never seen God, and I don't know if I ever will. Like, what am I missing? Like everything out on the table, like, I've never had a vision like that, okay? In case you were wondering. I've never heard an audible voice from God, though I know some people who have. But we actually don't need that. Why? And it's so good. Because we have Jesus. Generations after Isaiah had his vision of this glorious throne room of God, God did something amazing. God did something unexpected. He actually came to be among us, to walk among us, to show us what God is like. The Son is the image of the invisible God, Paul writes, the firstborn over all creation. That's why so often when we worship, as we did this morning, we're singing, "Jesus, name above all names. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you." When we worship, we acknowledge the presence of God's Spirit right here in our midst. Right here. Worship team, you guys can come on up. In this moment, in your presence, overwhelmed by love, we come alive. That's a response to the presence of God. And what's our response? We cry, "Holy, King of glory, Jesus Christ, your name be lifted high." That's a response to what we see. It's our response to what we see with the eyes of our heart. It's our response to the Son of God revealed to us through Scripture and through the Holy Spirit. The problem is that we make our worship into something that isn't a response. We make our worship a feeling, right? We do that all the time. we make our worship a means to get blessing from God. Like, I need this thing, so I'm going to go and I'm going to pull these levers, and then God's going to do this thing. Yeah, that's not worship. We make worship into a routine. Sometimes that's okay, but is that routine a response to who God is, or is it just going through the motions? But there is nothing routine about encountering a living God. So when we come together to worship, it has to be more than just reading words on a screen. It has to be more than just going through the motions. Our worship is only true worship when we're responding to the true God who has revealed himself through his Son. So, what is your response? It's not required to be emotional. It's not required to be stoic or reserved. It can be and should be more than just a song. It's repentance. It's obedience to something God might be asking of you. Is it falling on your knees in humility? Is it shouting and clapping for joy? If we can do that at a Red Sox game or a Celtics game, or sitting in our living room, I think we can do that for the living God, but are we seeing that living God revealed to us through his Son? Maybe your worship is dancing. Maybe your worship is quietly praying a prayer just from rote memory that you've prayed for decades, but it's more than just going through the motions. It's, God, I want to connect to you. I see you, and I want more. Maybe it's something visible on the outside, or maybe it's just what's going on inside your heart. Some of you, raise your hands. I found in my life that as I physically raise my hands, that it's like shouting to my heart, like, get with the program, all right? But you don't have to raise your hands to worship God. The hands of your heart can be reaching towards God. The hands of your heart can be in surrender to God. All of these things are good. All of them are appropriate when they are a response to the God who reveals himself to us. And he does. And our worship is not a response. It's not only a response to seeing who God is, it's also a response to seeing what God does and what God has done. And that's why coming to this table is a part of our worship. This is a response. We remember, we say, oh, yes, that's what Jesus did for us. I'm going to remember and I'm going to respond. I'm going to worship this God who, knowing he was going to the cross, said, this is my body broken for you. Remember this. And he's handing out bread to disciples who are like, what's going on? In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of new covenant in my blood. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you declare my death until I come again. And that's the plan. Jesus is coming back until that day when we actually get to see him physically face to face, which is going to be amazing. And by the way, it's not just going to be us. The Bible says that everyone who has ever been is going to see him face to face, but we actually get, as an old song says, we get the opportunity to choose to respond now. Not wait like till the end of all things, but like, God, I want to see you now. I want to respond to you now because you're worthy. Because you're worthy. And so let this be a part of your worship. Let this be a part of remembering and saying, God, remind me of what you've done, and I want to give you praise for who you are and what you have accomplished. So come not because you must, but because you may. Come not because you have any claim on any of this, but it's freely given to you. It's a gift, and what a response we can have to a gift like that.